Almost 10 years ago, Ned Levitt's life changed forever. His 18-year-old daughter, Stacy, was struck and killed by a car while she was out jogging. Now, over the last decade, Ned has grieved his daughter and learned about life in the process, and he's written a book about that journey. It's called No Mountain Too High, and we've got Ned Levitt on the phone from Toronto. Good morning.
Good morning, Marcus.
Well, what happened to you is, I think, all parents' worst nightmare. How did you react when you got that phone call?
Well, I reacted like any parent reacts. I mean, you first thing is you definitely go into shock. I mean, it's disbelief, and it takes a long time. Knowing in your mind and knowing in your heart are two different things, that life has changed and that you've lost someone you love. So, and many times the worst of it comes later on as the shock starts to wear off, and you're realizing what pain really is. None of us are prepared for this type of loss, so there's nothing in our background, in our education, in our training that prepares us for that amount of pain and despair. So I was like anybody else. I was like any other grieving father. I became so depressed with the fact that Stacy was no longer in my life is that I contemplated suicide. But then what started to change is when I realized I couldn't follow Stacy where she went, and because I have two other wonderful daughters and a wife, and I couldn't leave them to grieve yet another loss. And once I made the decision that I had to fight my way through, then I started to look not only to the resources I had within me, but I looked to Stacy. She left us with this incredible poetry that she wrote from the age of 8. And it's so inspiring and it's so thoughtful. We published her poetry journal 9 months after she died. And that started to her own words. I taught her and then she began to teach me. And that's where I found a tremendous amount of motivation and strength and purpose in my life.
Tell me more about Stacy.
Yeah. Well, she was absolutely amazing. She was beautiful on the outside and on the in. She was a top student. She was an amazing athlete. But I think the most remarkable, or what I've come to realize, her most remarkable characteristic was how much she helped other people, how much she reached out every day. We knew that about her, but we didn't know the extent of it until after she died. And many friends came to us, and they were so broken because she was helping them deal with family issues or drug addiction or whatever. And Stacy had a quality about her. I mean, even if she could be the fastest runner or the best tennis player, she was much more interested in making it a good experience, and the people she was competing with and against and with, she wanted to bring them up so that they could be the best that they could be. She even wrote a poem about that called To Everyone. And when I began to really key in on her philosophy of life, and she had one. She had it probably earlier than most of us, but by 18, for sure, it finally became clear to me, is that she made her life so much more joyous by being that kind of helping person, bringing other people up to be the best that they can be. I started to do that. I couldn't intellectualize what happened. There's no answer to the question of why, but I could intellectualize what I was going to go through, what my family was going to go through. So I devoured books on grief and bereavement. And then I started to help people who were fresher in their journey than me. And that was my salvation. That's what to this day helps me turn my life into something that is positive, or turn this event into something that's positive, and bring meaning to the death of my daughter.
And the book is a big part of that now. Tell me about No Mountain Too High.
Well, the title reflects the fact that I finished Stacy's unfinished business 14 months after she died. In the spring of 95, before she died, she tried to climb a mountain in Mexico, 50 miles outside of Mexico City, which is 17,000 feet, a very high mountain, and altitude is a big issue. She had gone there with a group of students from Bishop Strong, who she didn't even know, but she wanted to climb, but they got turned back by the weather. And so when I was feeling even worse after the first year, I looked at the book one day and I said, I'm going to finish this climb for her. And my brother Frank, who I'm very close with, and led by four Outward Bound instructors, 14 months after she died, we took the mountain in her name. Afterthought was, I've got to leave something behind. So I had an all-weather box made and left. I chained her book to the mountain. And as another afterthought, I put in a notebook and some pens. And I didn't know if it was going to be there for a day or a week or whatever. To this day, Marcus, I'm getting back notebooks full of incredible messages from people who go there to climb from all over the world.
What do they say?
They write to God. They write to me. They write to Stacy. They write to someone they've lost, someone they love. The most amazing entries are, and there's many of them, that write to Stacy in the first person. And they ask her for her protection. They ask for her inspiration.
What response have you received from your book now?
I'm still trying to absorb it. It's been overwhelming. It's absolutely overwhelming. And in fact, because I'm a lawyer. I spend my life studying and analyzing. So I guess I can't stop doing that. I'm trying to see why it is having this huge impact, both in the media and with the book buying public. We live in a death denying culture, and it's really hard for men. And I guess it's a bit unusual for a guy, and I'm a pretty normal guy, to open their hearts so much as I do in my book and expose themselves and show the pain. And so I think that's one factor. But I think the other factor is that I'm writing very, you know, starkly about things that people don't write very much about. I say that death and bereavement today is like sex was in the 50s. You know, nobody talked about it then, but everybody was dealing with it. And there were a lot of issues around it, but it was very taboo. Well, that's the way it is now. I mean, if I can make someone turn very green by just using two words in a sentence, daughter's grave. But I go visit that grave all the time. It's an important part of my life. It actually brings me joy to be there, and it hurts me when I can't be there. So my book deals with really tough issues, but it's a male dealing with it. So I guess that's part of the reason, but I leave it to others to decide what it's about.
And then thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Okay, thank you, Marcus.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.